You can turn in your Bibles with me to John 13 and 14. That's where we'll be starting this morning. We'll jump over to Matthew in a little bit, but before we dive into the text, let's stop and ask for the Lord's help. Father, thank you. Thank you for the good news that you, Lord Jesus, God from all eternity, left your Father's side and came, became human, became one of us. So as one of us, you could substitute yourself for us. You could take our place on the cross, take the punishment I deserve. Pay my price in full. Wash me clean. Make me new inside so that I could have a relationship with you. Forgiven, reconciled, adopted, loved. Thank you for the gospel. Thank you for the good news that Christ came into the world to save sinners. Lord, as we turn to your word, as we look to what you say, we ask that your Spirit would open our ears, open our hearts, open our eyes to see you. Increase our hunger for you. Increase our affection for you. Increase our eagerness to see you again. Work in us, we pray, for our good and for your glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We've been looking this Christmas season at Jesus in his own words. What did he say about himself, about his coming? We looked at why he came. Jesus said that he came for sinners. He came to seek and to save the lost. He came to give his life as a ransom for many. He came to lay down his life for his sheep. Jesus came because we had gone astray. He came because we were that bad. He came to pursue us, to rescue us, to forgive us of our sins. He came to pay our price. That's why he came. That's what he said. Jesus came. But Jesus claimed to have come differently from anyone else. What does it mean that he came, that he was sent? He claimed to have come from above, to have been sent by his Father. He claimed that his Father is the God we worship. He claimed to be the only one who has existed at his Father's side throughout eternity. He said he existed before creation, shared the glory with his Father. Jesus claimed to be the I Am. Jesus, who created all things, humbled himself and came, became human in order to rescue me, you, to save us from our sins by taking our punishment, taking our place, taking what we deserve on the cross. Christmas is all about Jesus, all about his coming. Traditionally, this season is known as Advent, which comes from the Latin word Adventus, which means coming. That's what the word means. Advent is the season of coming. Jesus came. We celebrate his coming at Advent. But Jesus said something else, what I want to look at today. He's coming back. That's part of the Advent season, is looking back, looking to the manger, seeing Jesus came. It's also looking forward to say, he also said he's coming again. That's the hope that we have as believers He's coming back for us. Jesus talked a lot about his own coming and his coming again. Today we'll look at a few things Jesus said about his return, his coming back. We'll start in John 13 and 14. This is the last Passover meal with his disciples before his arrest that night, before his betrayal, before his mock trials, and ultimately his crucifixion the next day. Jesus told them, "I am going away." And Jesus said, "Where I am going, you cannot come." He said, "Where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow afterward." Now, at first, Peter, the disciples, they didn't understand. But Peter was beginning to realize Jesus is talking about his death. He's already rebuked him once for talking about his death. And Peter here says, "Jesus, I'm willing to follow you anywhere, even I'm willing to lay down my life for you." The disciples were grieving because Jesus said he was going away. They didn't want him to leave. So he said in John 14 verse 1, "Let not your hearts be troubled." Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, and I will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. You can't follow me now, but you will follow afterward. I go to prepare a place for you. I will come again. I will come again, and I will take you to myself. That's wedding language. That's marriage imagery. I'm going to go prepare a place. I'm going to come back and take you to be with me forever. That where I am, you may be also. Jesus promises that he is coming again for us, to take us, his bride, to be with him forever. He says in John 14 verse 18, "I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." In fact, in John chapter 17, if you flip ahead, Jesus, praying to his Father, says in John 17 verse 24, "Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me, because you loved me before the foundation of the world." That they may be with me where I am. Jesus here is praying for the unity of his followers. He says in verse 21, "That they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me." He's praying for the unity of his followers. And he is praying, get this, he is praying not only for his original disciples, he explicitly is praying for you, for me, for us, today, here, now. Look at verse 20, John 17 verse 20. "I do not ask for these only," his disciples, who were in the room with him. "I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word." We believe today through the apostolic witness of who Jesus is through the written word of the apostles, their testimony. That's us. Jesus is mentioning in his prayer to his Father, you, me. He's praying for us. And he's praying. He's expressing his desire, his heart's desire to his Father. I desire that they also whom you have given me may be with me, where I am to see my glory. Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us so that we can be with him forever. He will come again to take us to himself. We have his word on it. This is likely the word of Jesus that Paul has in mind when he writes to encourage the Thessalonian believers to correct their misunderstandings, to encourage their hearts because they were confused. They were struggling. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 13, Paul writes, "We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who have fallen asleep, believers who have died." They were concerned, well, I thought Jesus was coming back for us. What happens to them? Did they miss out? "That you may not grieve as others who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words." Encourage one another with these words. Jesus, the Lord himself, he's coming back for us. He went to prepare a place for us to be with him. Dead or alive, at his coming, we will be raised to meet him in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Jesus, brothers and sisters, Jesus is coming again. He's coming back for you, for me. In Matthew 24, Jesus predicts that the temple of Jerusalem will be destroyed as it was in 70 AD. His disciples asked, "Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" They're picking up on some of Jesus' teaching. They understand he's coming back. They says, when is this all going to go down? They thought, well, he's going to set up his kingdom right here, right now. It seems Jesus is talking about a delay. This is farther off. How do we know? What do we look for? What does this look like? When will these things be? What will be the sign of your coming? What will be the sign of the end of the age? Jesus answered them in verse 4 of Matthew 24, "See that no one lead you astray. See that no one lead you astray." Be careful, be cautious, be on guard, because there are a lot of people that want to lead you astray. He warned that false Christs would come to lead many astray. There would be wars. There would be rumors of wars. Wars between nations. Wars between kingdoms. There would be famines. There would be earthquakes. Jesus said in verse 6, "See that you are not alarmed." Now that's a tough one. Okay, the whole world is falling apart. There's earthquakes, there's famines, there's wars. And he says, yeah, don't be alarmed. Okay. "See that you are not alarmed, for this must take place, but the end is not yet." Don't panic. Don't be afraid. He told his followers that they would be hated. They would be persecuted, even executed. Did you know, brothers and sisters, did you know that this year, 2020, around 3,000 of our brothers, this is an estimate, we don't know hard numbers, but around 3,000 of our brothers and sisters were killed this year. Because they believe in Jesus. Because of their faith in Jesus. That's at least 8 people. Your siblings. Every day. This year. You'll be hated. You'll be persecuted. Even executed. Luke's gospel records, "Yet not a hair of your head." You won't be, yet they might kill you, but you won't be hurt. What? What does that mean? You won't be hurt eternally. You're safe eternally. They can destroy the body, but they can't touch your soul. Jesus said many would fall away and betray one another. False prophets would lead many astray. Lawlessness would increase. Hello. And the love of many would grow cold. He says in 24:13, "But the one who endures to the end will be saved." Stay faithful. Remain faithful. Don't deny me. Don't let your love grow cold. Don't be alarmed. Don't be led astray. Don't be afraid. Jesus said in verse 14, "And this gospel, the good news of the kingdom, will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." Do you hear the certainty in Jesus' voice? This gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, all the people groups. According to the Joshua Project, there are 7,413 people groups today unreached with the gospel. That's 3.23 billion people. 41.6% of the world's population unreached with the gospel. Friends, we have a lot of work to do. Jesus said that false Christs, false prophets would perform great signs and wonders to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. He's telling us to warn us to be on our guard. He warned us not to believe it if they claim to have found the Christ. He's here out in the wilderness. He's here in the inner room. Come see. No. Be on guard. Don't be deceived. Jesus says in verse 27, "For as the lightning comes from the east and shines as far as the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man." You're not going to miss it. It's not going to be a little secret thing. It's going to be big. Jesus said in verse 29, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from heaven, the powers of the heavens will be shaken, then will appear in heaven the sign of the Son of Man, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Amen. And he will send out his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. This teaching of Jesus was no doubt the basis of Paul's instructions again to the Thessalonian church, again confused, struggling to understand, worried, anxious, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered together to him, we ask you, brothers, not to be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed, either by a spirit or a spoken word or a letter seeming to be from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. Let no one deceive you in any way, for that day will not come unless the rebellion comes first and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself against every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, proclaiming himself to be God. Jesus is coming back for you, for us. Don't be shaken in mind. Don't be alarmed. Don't be deceived. It hasn't happened yet. You haven't missed it. Take heart. He loves you. He's coming for you. Jesus is coming back for us. Jesus encouraged us. Back in Matthew 24, Jesus encouraged us to be aware of the signs that indicate, that point to his coming, that his coming is near. But he warned also that no one but the Father knows the day or the hour. So he says in verse 42, therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day the Lord is coming. And then he gives us some instruction. How should we wait? How should we anticipate? He says in verse 44, therefore you also must be ready. For the Son of Man is coming in an hour you do not expect. Jesus uses the illustration of servants left in charge of their master's household. And he gives us this encouragement in verse 45. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom his master has set over his household to give them their food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom the master will find so doing when he comes. He's given us a task. Blessed is the one who's doing the task when Jesus returns. Be ready. How do you be ready? That's how you be ready. You do what he's called you to do. Today. Every day. Right now. Be faithful. In Matthew 25, Jesus uses the illustration of young women awaiting the bridegroom for the wedding celebration. Some were prepared. Some were not. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a cry, here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him. Matthew 25 verse 10, the bridegroom came and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered, truly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. Jesus is telling us, you don't know when I'm coming back, But you want to be ready when I come. You want to be prepared when I come. You don't want to be one of those who is found unprepared and left outside. Jesus compared his coming to a master, leaving for a long journey, entrusting to his servants his property. He expected them to invest wisely, to multiply their master's resources, his property. It says, Matthew 25, verse 19, "Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them." To those who invested and multiplied their master's resources, to those who used what they have been entrusted with as stewards of his property, he said to them, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." But to the one who perceived the master to be hard and unjust, the one who buried what he had been entrusted, didn't put it to use, he said, "You wicked and slothful servant." He said, "You ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming, I should have received what was my own with interest." He says in verse 30, "Cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Stay awake. Be ready. Be faithful. Be busy serving others. Invest wisely what he has entrusted to your care. He's given you gifts. He's given you resources. Use that for the glory of the kingdom, for the good of others, to bless, to love, to serve others. Be found faithful when he comes. Jesus says in Matthew 25, verse 31 of his coming, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me.'" Verse 37, "Then the righteous will answer him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?' And the king will answer them, 'Truly, I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me.'" Love for the brothers is evidence of our love for the Lord. If we love the Lord, we'll love his children. The gospel reminds us that the righteous are not righteous because they do good things. They do good things because they have been made righteous through the finished work of Christ. Amen? Let me say that again. The gospel reminds us that the righteous aren't righteous because they do good things. They do good things because they've been made righteous, counted righteous in Christ, made righteous because of the finished work of Jesus for us. You see, in this passage, The righteous are not even aware of their good deeds. Do you see that? What do you mean we did that? What are you talking about? We just did what we do. It came out of our hearts. We weren't doing anything. We didn't think we were meriting anything. They naturally flow. These good works naturally flow out of a transformed heart. The works are evidence of an inward change, an inward transformation. Come, you who are blessed of my Father. See, God blessed them, gave them a gift they didn't deserve. The kingdom was prepared for you from the foundation of the world. In Luke chapter 12, Jesus tells us not to be anxious, not to be worried. Do you pick up a theme, recurring theme here? Not to be anxious, not to be worried, but instead to seek the kingdom of God. Don't be anxious, don't be worried. Oh, what are you going to eat? What are you going to drink? What are you going to wear? Where are you going to live? What's going to happen tomorrow? I'm worried. Don't be. Don't be anxious. Don't be worried. But instead, seek His kingdom, seek His righteousness. He'll take care of you. He'll take care of you for eternity. He's prepared a place for you. He's coming back for you. He says in Luke 12:32, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." It's not the carrot on the stick that's motivating you to try harder, to work harder, that you can never ever reach. It's always just out of reach and you keep trying but you can never. It's not God's heart. "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." See, God wants to give it to you freely, undeserved. He wants you to have it, not to be continually striving for it. He wants you to eat it. He wants you to enjoy it. It's His heart. It's His desire. It's what He wants, is to give it to you. And He gives us this startling encouragement. Luke 12, verse 35. "Stay dressed for action. Keep your lamps burning. Be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast, so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes." Do you hear what he's saying? He's saying the same thing he said before. Stay dressed for action. Keep your lamps burning. Be waiting. Be ready to open the door. Be ready to serve Him. Be ready for His return. Be watching. Blessed are you if He finds you awake and ready when He comes. Listen to what He says. "Truly I say to you, He, the Master, Jesus, will dress Himself for service and have them, you who are ready, recline at table, and He, Jesus, will come and serve them, you." What? What? Servants serve. Masters are served. Be ready, be watching, be waiting, be awake, be anticipating His coming. Be ready to serve Him, and when the Master comes, He's going to turn the tables. He will give you a place at His table. And He will serve you. Do you see that? See how beautiful that is? You see, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for you. And He's not done serving you. He's eager to continue to serve you today, now, and for eternity. Do you see how beautiful that is? We're to be waiting. We're to be alert. We're to anticipate His coming. We're to be ready to serve. But it is ultimately He who serves us, not we who serve Him. James says every good gift, every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. Romans 11 says, who has given a gift to him that he should be repaid? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. Jesus, John 13, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments, taking a towel, he tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. You see, Jesus came not to be served, but to serve. This is our King who humbled himself and became obedient even to death, even death on a cross. Our King is preparing today a place for us so that we can be with Him forever. He promised that He is coming back for us. This is our King. Our King is coming. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for sending your only Son to be the sacrifice that takes away our sins. Thank you for paying my price in full so that I can enjoy today a relationship with you. And Lord, you have given us unfathomable things to look forward to. The simple fact that we will be with you. Lord, may that be all that we desire, to see your face, to be with you forever, to enjoy your presence face to face. Lord, we long for that day. May we be found faithful, hungry for you, anticipating your coming, as the bride anticipates the coming of the groom. May we be longing to see you. We don't care the circumstances. We don't care the surroundings if we can just see you. Make that the deepest desire of our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.